X-Men Dark Phoenix. It's been a weird road to get here as far as the X-Men movies. And I think we've done all of them. We haven't done all the Wolverines. But
yeah, I think we should have watched Logan already, but I guess...
Logan deserves his own thing, because Logan's in a different... It's in the future. It's based in the future and stuff, so we ain't got
work. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But as far as the X-Men movies, we did X-Men 1, we did X-Men Last, X-Men 2, X-Men Last Stand, we did X-Men First Class. We did the X-Men...
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, Apocalypse last week, and then we got Dark Phoenix. I think we did pretty good. Hopefully listeners kind of understand that the X-Men movies has some ups and downs. The first X-Men movie, I felt like was this big achievement. It was like, okay, we finally have the budget and the special effects technology to put the mutants on the screen. We had some big names.
Who directed the first one? Was that Bryan Singer?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I think X2 was a success. And then, of course, you get the X-Men Last Stand, which is then things started going kind of sideways. Uh-huh. And this is the last one. It's not directed by Bryan Singer. It's directed by Simon Kinberg.
But who has written previous X-Men movies.
And you can kind of feel that this is a Bryan. Bryan Singer was attached to it. There was some sexual allegation issues with him, so he couldn't actually be connected to
it. Yeah, they took his producer credit off of it after that happened.
But he definitely produced this. He definitely had his insights into this. You can kind of feel it. This is a movie that he wanted to make. And I have some, not serious issues with this movie, but I have some issues, some good issues and some bad issues. But as far as the X-Men movie is concerned, it's kind of a weird place to end the Bryan Singer X-Men, or the Fox X-Men, the 20th Century Fox X-Men. This is the end of it. After this, Marvel takes it over. Marvel has the rights again. And we haven't seen anything except the end trailer of a couple different movies. We see Patrick Stewart as Professor X in a movie, and that's it. We haven't seen much X-Men since.
Apparently this was like right around, so when this hit home theater or home video was after the Disney acquisition of Fox.
Yeah.
So, this is like, this could have kept going if Disney didn't buy it.
Did Disney buy Fox, or did Disney buy the X-Men rights back?
Fox.
Wow. All of Fox?
Everything except for like Fox News and like a couple of other small things.
I didn't know that. It's not a lot of properties though.
Yeah. I think they do all the local Fox affiliates. Like they're somehow that now. I don't know.
No. That's interesting. It's interesting that they bought the Fox. They just bought Fox.
Yeah, they just bought Fox.
Instead of buying back the X-Men, they just said, no, we want Fox.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run down the box office takeaways from all the movies.
Okay.
You have to adjust for
it. We don't normally talk about the money.
No, aspect. But I think this is interesting.
Okay.
So the original movie, X-Men 1, $296 million. X-2, $407 million.
This is their box office take?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. X-Men Last Stand, $460 million. And then you've got, we'll skip around a little bit, X-Men First Class, $353 million. We've got X-Men Days of Future Past, $746 million, Mike.
Interesting.
It was a huge hit. X-Men Apocalypse, $543 million. And then Dark Phoenix, $252 million. So, I mean, you can see the trajectory of them doing really well. And then the X-Men Dark Phoenix kind of just sank, sadly.
Following the same trajectory as the MCU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. We should do a box office number analysis and adjust it for inflation and do all the math and try to figure. And that'd be kind of fun. That'd be a fun episode. All right, Mike, you watched this, or you said you watched it. Did you watch it with a family? Were you doing some kind of other thing when you were watching this? What was the situation before?
How long is it going to take before I can live this down? You know,
probably a while, a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
I watched it.
All right.
I also watched that one movie that you said I didn't watch. Yeah.
Okay. And what did you think?
It's a good movie. I still think that Days of Future Past was a horrible idea. They never should have done it. They didn't need to do it. This should have been the, what, third movie instead of the fourth? Was it just the fourth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically.
This should have been the third movie. Yeah, it should have been First Class.
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse and then this.
I respect that decision, mildly.
Yeah, you didn't need Days of Future Past. It messes things up. In fact, it makes one thing that happened in this movie impossible.
Which is?
Mystique can't die.
Why? What? Why?
Because Mystique is in the movies with Wolverine.
Okay, good point. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. So we did mention how much money Days of Future Past made at the box office. We did mention it.
Yeah, but a lot of times movies make the money based off of the prior, like sequels make money based off how much people like the previous movie.
Or it could have just been like got good buzz.
People it could it be movie, good buzz.
And then went
or
and
it could be
it
great marketing.
Week. Yeah, yeah. I think it's.
But a lot of the time it's riding off the highs of the previous movie.
Okay. So Dark Phoenix. I'm going to give my take on it. It's an overall take and what I think of the whole thing and we answer those questions.
Yeah.
So it's based off of the Dark Phoenix saga. So in the comics, the Dark Phoenix saga is, for some reason, Jean Grey and the X-Men were in space. I'm not sure why. And in the comics, she was got connected to a thing called the Phoenix Force. Now, the Phoenix Force.
Now, was that in space in the comics?
It was in space. And the Phoenix Force is a cosmic force. So in the Marvel comics, there are certain things called cosmic forces, like things that are bigger and greater than anything else. And so, like.
Yeah, that's where like Guardians of the Galaxy introduced us to cosmic stuff.
Yeah, just think about it in that level. It's that Phoenix Force is far more powerful than any of that.
Okay.
And so the Phoenix Force, it does absorb itself into Jean Grey as its host, and then it unlocks Jean Grey's abilities, and she becomes massively powerful to the point where she actually leaves Earth because she's so powerful she needs to feed. And I'm not sure what happens after that, but she does destroy a planet. And in this, they said
that force destroyed a planet.
Yeah, but in the comics, she destroyed the planet.
Okay.
And the planet was called Dabari. So the aliens in the movie were called Dabaris, and the planet that she destroyed were called Dabaris. Because of that, the Shi'ar Empire, which is the alien empire, which Professor X is connected to because he had an affair with the queen of the Shi'ar Empire, they decided she's too powerful. Yeah. He pulled pretty hard on that, considering he can't walk. So the Shi'ar Empire decide that Jean Grey's too powerful, and they have some kind of battle. But in the X-Men say that we want a trial by combat, and so the X-Men had to fight the Shi'ar's best combatants. But then at the end, Jean Grey sacrificed herself so the X-Men could live, and she was killed. So Jean Grey was killed in it at the end, and the X-Men have been chasing this dragon ever since. The Phoenix Saga storyline was very successful. It kind of changed the tone of the X-Men, and people loved it. And so, of course, Jean Grey came back. There was a clone of Jean Grey, and then Jean Grey came back again, and then the Phoenix Force came back, and then she died again. And it was just a mess. And this kind of reminds me of this movie. We've already seen the Phoenix Saga in X-Men The Last Stand. They already did it once. And then they did it again, and I think they did it properly in this version. However,
yeah, I would agree, especially after hearing you tell me about how it works out in the comics.
Yeah, but it just doesn't, there's something about it that doesn't hit right for me. And, you know, the more I think about it, I think it's Sophie Turner. I think she just wasn't compelling to me. Like, I keep trying to think about why, and like, Jennifer Lawrence, Raven, she is
kind of cold, I think.
Yeah, just there's not a lot but, of like.
Doesn't that work for this movie at least?
Okay, so I think the problem here with Jean Grey and Sophie Turner trying to play Jean Grey, there's not a lot of material to work with. Jean Grey,
I know she was like very like outgoing and bubbly, I guess, in the cartoons.
Yeah, in the cartoons, but in the comics, it's just like the only thing that Jean Grey was in the comics is Scott Summers' love interest, kind of.
Really?
Kind of. And okay. In the comics, when they created the X-Men, just like they created the Fantastic Four, they put a woman on the team to kind of round it out. You know, you have four guys and a woman. You know, it's like Fantastic Four with three guys and a woman. So it's like, we have a team, we need a woman to kind of round it out.
Gotcha.
And the women characters are always these characters who kind of maybe need saving every once in a while.
And she never even had a superhero name.
She did. Her name was Marvel Girl. Her name was Marvel Girl.
But I just know her as Jean Grey.
Yeah, but her official name was Marvel Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, Marvel Girl. There we go. But yeah, so like, I don't think Sophie Turner had a whole bunch to work with. But that's funny because Femke Jensen, the woman who played. Yeah, she played, I think she played Jean Grey fantastic. She made that character.
Yeah, she did a good job.
Yeah, and for some reason, it just didn't work. Sophie Turner's acting just... I mean, I like Sophie Turner. I think she was great in Game of Thrones. But when she came to this, she just didn't bring that gravitas. She didn't bring that heat. She was just kind of there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like her role was kind of phoned in a little bit. I think everybody else in this movie was really trying to make this movie work, except for her. And she's the main character. So it just didn't feel great to me. But I do think that her origin story, the fact that
she killed her parents. I think that's just her style.
Yeah, you're right. And her origin story, the fact that she killed her parents was a whole thing, which I thought was interesting and good.
Oh, is that, that's not from the comics?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
The fact that,
I don't know why we needed that.
I think you need it because here's the deal. She's super powerful and Professor X did have to put in blockers into her power so she wouldn't be too powerful too fast. That was from the comics. And I think that they wanted to do that to make her feel like she's dangerous, so she's hiding some kind of dark secret.
Yeah.
But there is a whole thing in the comics about Professor X and Jean Grey. This happened during the Onslaught storyline. This is a long storyline. I'm not getting into it. But there was one point where Professor X kind of had a mental breakdown and created like a whole new powerful being from his mind. And it was revealed that he actually fell in love with Jean Grey a long time ago. And it was a secret that he was keeping. And so so Professor X was in love with her for a considerable amount of time. It was a big secret. So, I mean, I don't know. The only thing I like about this movie is the action scenes towards the end. I love the city action scene between Magneto and Hank versus Professor X and X-Men. And I absolutely love the train scene. The train scene was absolutely fantastic. Full of action, full of passion. It was just great. But the rest of the movie was kind of like, it's fine. I don't know. What do you think?
I guess we're kind of the same on this. It's a weird movie because it at parts it's great, at other parts it's strange.
Like the idea that Hank McCoy would instantaneously want to kill Jean Grey because she killed Raven, this doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I was thinking about that, and my first reaction was, yeah, it seems kind of quick, but I mean, I'd probably be the same way.
Would you?
Yeah, I mean, you kill like,
but she's a teammate. I mean, my lord, and she's got like a
like
weird
Hank and order. Hank and Raven had like something special.
Yeah, that's true. I just saw a deleted scene where they were making out.
Really?
Past. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, a little makeout
system. Yeah, I mean, they've always had a special connection that was a little bit more than just teammates. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he loved her, and I get that.
Yeah.
But if, like, I was at work and someone accidentally killed, you know, someone I loved, I wouldn't be like, I have to
murder. Yeah, but it's not like they were working on a conveyor belt and, like, something snapped and Raven died.
So if you're
died.
A superhero, you can just go kill somebody.
I'm saying you can't. Like, you can't just, like, kill somebody with your superpowers.
Yeah, it's like, it just kind of feels wrong. It just felt, I mean, I understand that Hank loved Raven, that Magneto loved Raven, but the idea that
reason this happened is Jennifer Lawrence was done playing Raven.
Oh, yeah, she was finished with it. Like, she's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, kill me. Kill me. I'll do this movie for you, but kill me off.
Yeah, I will do this movie for a little bit, and then, I'm not going to sit here and do the whole thing. Forget it. Nope. It's so funny. And like, yeah, that's really hilarious. Which is kind of sad, but like, Jennifer Lawrence, I think.
But yeah, it's like totally ruined. Like, well, I think Days of Future Past ruined itself. But fact that Raven dies in this, you can't, like, that movie can't exist.
No.
That movie's now impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and I want to go, this is a good topic. So this is a debate that happens in the comics a lot. Do you remember that scene where Raven accuses Charles of putting the team at risk, and they have that argument about becoming X-Men?
I think he did. I think he put the team at risk. I think the right call was, hey, we've got most of the astronauts. That thing that we know nothing about is incredibly close to the shuttle right now. Let's call it a win and go home.
Yeah, but Charles Xavier's, what he wants to do is create the X-Men, make them superheroes, right. So the world will respect them and love them. I mean, kids were wearing T-shirts with Nightcrawler.
That would have worked. They saved almost all of the crew.
But come on, Mike, you would just save almost all. Oh, sorry, these guys died. Isn't one of the things about being a superhero is risking your life over someone else?
No. Nah.
Yeah, that is what it means to be a superhero.
Not against like this thing that has, you know, we know nothing about it at all.
Let's talk about the actual, like,
it's incredible. It's right there.
But let's think about
y'all gotta go.
Let's think about the mutant issue here, okay? Like, who do you think's right? Like, we've seen all these X-Men movies, and we've seen, like, Magneto make speeches and Charles Xavier make speeches.
Raven wanted to go.
Raven wanted to go where?
Well, to leave. She's like, let's get out of here. We're done.
No, I'm talking about the overall, not the space shuttle thing, but the overall idea of the mutants. Whose philosophy is more right? Is it Magneto's or is it Professor X's? Which one do you think would work the best in real life?
In real life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I go back and forth.
In real life, I think Eric's probably more pragmatic.
I mean, if you had beings with these kind of powers, they would have no choice but to, like, create their own society away from humans. Humans wouldn't let them live. Humans would hunt them down and use them as weapons, kill them off. Or be,
like, experimenting on them.
Yeah. Like, you have no choice, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest here. If you look at how the powerful majority uses their money and resources, they always take advantage of other people, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, mutants are powerful, but there's a small amount of them. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand the debate from Charles' perspective when he's like, listen, we have to, you know, become superheroes so they don't fear us. I can see Jennifer being frustrated with that. Now, Jennifer, I mean, Raven being frustrated with that.
Right.
But I think overall, it just makes more Magneto's idea. I think Charles Xavier's idea is more optimistic, but I think I think Magneto's is just more realistic. It's curious. Stan Lee, when he created the X-Men, he talked about how Professor X was kind of modeled after Dr. King, and then Magneto was kind of modeled after Malcolm X, and so he was able to kind of like use the civil rights issues to kind of make like a metaphor for the mutants. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, historically, I don't think that analogy works anymore. I think that the issue with mutants is just so distinct that, if I could float and like move things with my mind, I would be viewed as a major threat versus just regular.
But I thought all black people could do that.
Yeah, well, you can't talk. Well, you have to add this out because we're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, sorry about that. That's right. I let it slip. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm getting in real trouble. But be honest. Like, honestly, if there was a group of people, if like 1% of the population had superpowers, the 99% of the human race would hunt them down, kill them off. It's just, and like, you know, looking at this movie in particular, Magneto's way more right. But I think Magneto's right, but he's also stupid. You know, he makes so many small mistakes. It's just kind of hilarious. Yeah.
I did dig his little island there. That was a really cool, cool place. I'd love to live there for a few months.
Yeah, man, I love his little, like, it's a kind of a callback to the island that he has in the comics, and then the idea of mutants having their own little home. It's also kind of thing that you'll see in the comics. It's not as elaborate as the comics would be, but still, it's kind of the same idea. You know, a haven for mutants. You know,
well, it was mostly like metal, so like the houses were mostly shipping containers, which Eric could easily move around and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that scene where like Magneto was trying to save the soldiers, and Jean Grey was trying to kill them. And Jean Grey just gets this crazy. I guess we can blame the super force in her body, but like, I don't think, like, come on. Like, is she going to start murdering people left and right? My good Lord. It's kind of nuts. I have other critiques. Quicksilver, Evan Peters, is marginalized in this movie really fast.
He was still very good. Yeah, but not as much time as...
No, they definitely wanted to kill him off.
Kurt Wagner, also not as much time.
What? He has...
A little bit.
Nightcrawler has a major fight scene at the end. He put his little tail through a person's neck. He teleports.
Well, Quicksilver got one of his slow-mo things.
I do want to commend Fox the way that the Bryan Singer and the producers, everybody kind of used Quicksilver's powers. I do like the fact that it was done in a very special way, better than we've seen other Speed Force stuff in other movies and TV shows.
Yeah,
I don't like the casting of Scott Summers. I do not like Tay Sheridan as Scott Summers. It just doesn't feel right.
He's all right.
He's all right, but
I don't think I've ever really liked Scott Summers.
Cyclops is awesome. There's a red called Cyclops Was Right. That's fantastic. read comics, Mike.
What was
read
he right about?
Well, in the comics, Cyclops joins Magneto at some point, and he becomes like a rebel. He does all kinds of cool stuff. He's awesome. Like Cyclops just becomes rad.
Well, I just know him from the comic or the cartoon, and like he was always a little bit of a jerk, right?
The cartoon movies aren't doing it justice at all. Okay. Nicholas Hoult as Hank McCoy, really good. Michael Fassbender as
I was more of a Wolverine and Jean Grey than Jean Grey and Cyclops.
Oh, okay, that's fine. You know who is the breakout star in this movie? Who I think is fantastic.
Hang on a second. Don't say anything. Let me look.
How are you going to know?
I guess it's Jessica Chastain.
How'd you guess?
I mean, I don't know why, but that's
the only person
it could be.
No, really? she was scared. When she was on the screen...
What's her character?
She was Valk, the alien villain.
The alien villain. Yeah, okay.
She was... When she was on the screen, I was afraid of her. That's how it should be.
I mean, yeah. She's just weird.
Yeah, weird, scary, unpredictable, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. Alexander Shipp as Storm, not as much screen time as I would like, but it was fine.
I didn't really like the way that Vuk would like put her hand on somebody and then put a big dent in their torso.
You like that?
I didn't like that. She would put her hand on person, like twist her hand.
Yeah.
And it's like a twisted.
She did that she did that to Jean Grey's father to get information.
Yeah. She did it to like two people at least.
There's a horror element to this. There's definitely a horror element to this movie. And the fight scene, I think the fight scene in the train is
important. Speaking of horror elements.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer for the New Mutants, which is like the last of the Fox X-Men movies.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a horror movie.
I watched some of it, and I'm not going to watch any more of it.
I think I'm going to nope out on that one.
Yeah, we don't have to.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
We don't have to watch it.
Okay.
I don't particularly want to. If our fans want us to, we'll do what our fans ask. But we got a lot to do, Mike. We're busy people.
Yeah, but I'm gonna nope out on that unless there's like
a maybe we'll do it if we get bored. Yeah, maybe when we get bored. But there's a lot of those things we can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Jessica Chastain as well. She did a really good job. I thought she was fantastic. And overall, I think this movie. I mean, is it the way I wanted this X-Men, the Fox X-Men, to end? I don't think so. And I think after Days of Future Past, I was disappointed from Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix. I was kind of disappointed. And I think Days of Future Past, I'm sorry, was a great way to end things. And I kind of wish they wouldn't have done the other two movies. But they do want money, so there's nothing you can do about it. So It's fine. And I know you don't think they should have done Days of Future Past.
No, they shouldn't have. That movie was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
But it kind of, I'm curious why they could never land the Dark Phoenix ship. Like, why can't this story just completely translate on film the way it did in the comics? I guess there's limitations or something, but maybe, I don't know.
I think the thing is, in the comics, there was a, how many years build up to the Dark Phoenix?
About a year.
They didn't introduce Jean Grey in one issue, and then, like, four issues later, she's the Dark Phoenix, right?
No, you're right.
Yeah, I think it took a while.
It took a while to develop. Yeah, you're absolutely
You'd have to have X-Men be a TV series.
Yeah.
And in the fifth season, she becomes Dark Phoenix.
They did hint at the Dark Phoenix stuff in Apocalypse, but again, it's just not, it wasn't doing anything. I think you're right, Mike. I think that if you had a TV series that built up the Dark Phoenix saga and everything else, like a Game of Thrones type deal, then it would be amazing.
Or like a, MCU, she's introduced in Iron Man and in Endgame, she's Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They can't do it. They couldn't build
They were rushing it. They were always rushing it.
Yeah, you're right. But I do think the X-Men movies were a success, and I'm very curious to see what Marvel would do moving forward. These X-Men comics are more successful now.
I really liked James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender in their roles.
I would like Nicholas Holt. Yeah, I would love to see James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Nicholas Holt. But Nicholas Holt's going to play Lex Luthor in the next Superman movie, so he's done with Beast. I wouldn't mind seeing
Evan Peters, Alexandra Shipp.
I would like to see some of them.
Cody Smith McPhee.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah, Sophie Turner. No, you don't need to come back.
I think we could probably find a better.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, you did what you had to do. Thank you for your work. We appreciate that.
Right,
but we know you're done.
Yeah. Maybe she'd be willing to come back. If she didn't have to deal with Bryan Singer.
Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And again, I want to say this out loud. When you redo the X-Men.
I wasn't in love with her as, like,
no.
Raven or Mystique. Though. I've
well, definitely, I mean, it's here for Lawrence, so you kind of are. But
I'm not, really.
Everybody is.
So really?
Okay. Yeah, everybody loves Jennifer Lawrence. It's Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
She's fun. But I do want to tell anybody who's listening, don't go the CGI route with this stuff. Go back to the X-Men 1, X-Men 2 route, practical effects.
I think the Mystique in First Class was peak Mystique.
She didn't do anything in First Class.
I'm just talking about the look.
Mystique in X2 is the peak Mystique.
Yes. I'm just talking about the look, though.
The
spray paint, the appliques, all that.
Give me Rebecca Stamos, man. Give me that. Bring her.
I'm not even talking about Jennifer Lawrence. Just imagine there's nobody there, or imagine they're both Rebecca Romijn. Okay, just the look of the paint and like all of the stuff that they did in First Class was the best looking Mystique.
But she doesn't really look that way in the comics. In the comics, she just has blue skin and red hair. So she doesn't have those scales and stuff. And she's not naked.
Well, in First Class, that was where she had the least amount of that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your grade, Mike?
It's weird.
You gotta give it a grade.
It's hard to give this a grade.
I'll give it a grade.
I think I'm just gonna have to go with a B, though.
I have a pretty strong C+ on this one.
Yeah.
The ending, great. But the rest of it, not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
This one, I have to go back and, after watching this, I have to go back and change my grade for Days of Future Past. I originally graded it too high. I said it was a B. It's definitely a C movie.
Hmm. Okay, that's not true, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's a C movie.
It's an A+. $750 million at the box office, so...
I mean, millions of people can be wrong.
They weren't wrong this time. Why don't you watch it again?
It's not a good movie. It's not a good movie. It's silly. It's stupid. No, they didn't even need to do it. It's pointless.
Just watch it again.
It's a pointless movie. Why even do it?
Because you didn't watch it the first time.
But they didn't even need to do it. It was pointless.
You were at a party. No. You were having fun. You weren't watching this movie. Watch it again. Watch it again.
No. Just
watch
it again. No, it's a pointless movie.
All right. We got some news.
Mystique dies.
Okay.
She can't die.
Okay.
If Days of Future Past exists, she can't die. Right.
But she does, and she's dead. And Jennifer Lawrence would never be Mystique.
So you just wipe that movie from your memory because it never happened.
Well, all these characters are fake. They all died.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you ready for some news you can have use?
I'm ready for it.
We've been talking about this for far too long, and we kind of predicted this was going to happen. Jonathan Majors was convicted of sexual assault of some sort. I don't know the details, but he has been fired by Marvel. Kang is done. They're not going to do any more Kang stuff. He is finished. The multiverse saga is done.
Like you said, the writer that was supposedly attached to the Kang dynasty, supposedly they're now calling that Avengers 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's done. Loki finished it up.
Yeah, Loki. I think Loki tied a bow on it.
Yeah, we're done. It's nice and neat. We don't have to go back to it. I mean, if I would be super surprised if Marvel recast Kang or try to bring that storyline up.
It would be such a bad decision.
Just end it. Like, no one wants it anymore. And I want to say this.
The multiverse saga is not resonating with fans.
The multiverse saga is done. We're done with it. Let's move on.
It's boring. We've had enough.
It's been rehashed. We've seen all this stuff, and we're kind of sick of it. But I want to say this. Jonathan Majors, I've seen him act in many movies, and he is a phenomenal actor. But it's clearly that he has some troubles, and I hope that he gets through it, that he deals with this. He has to deal with the legal aspect of it. He has to do his time. He has to deal with this as far as, you know, being convicted and everything else. We don't know how it's going to work, but I will say this. It's just hard. Like, it's easy. I think it's easy to ignore it and not say anything about it, but the fact that, you know, the guy had some issues, and I just hope that he has friends and family around him so he can get the counseling that he needs, deal with this from a legal standpoint, deal with this from an emotional standpoint, and just kind of, and then moves on. I don't know if he'll ever act again, but the guy's a talent. And the fact that his talent is going to be ruined because of something that he did like this, and it had to be something like this, it's just a shame. It's just really sad. I'm sad for the woman he assaulted. I'm sad that I hope justice is served, but also I just feel really bad for everybody involved in this. This is terrible.
Word is he has a history of this, and it's been a long time coming. Yeah. I hope he does some real work on himself. Comes out the other side a better person. And
yeah, I hope he does some real work. I hope he has to be judged. He has to deal with this. Deal with the fact that I hope he comes to that moment where he's like, you know, I did do wrong. This was terrible.
Right.
And just like such a loss.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, but not just that, as a person, you know, like he's going to have to go to jail for a while, you know, he might get probation or something like that. I don't know, but
yeah,
his career's done and everything else. And it's just like, and for fans of Jonathan Majors, listen, the criminal justice system, you know, is not perfect, but again, you know, like asking who the jurors are and trying to figure out who the jurors are and stuff like that, that's not cool. Like, this is not a joke. You just go after
the fact life is more important than losing your favorite actor for 5 years.
Yeah. Or whatever.
You know, whatever's going to happen. You know, maybe he goes away for 5 years and he comes back. Maybe he's gone forever. But
if you're mad, be mad at Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're mad, be mad at Jonathan Majors. You know, and don't blindly, never blindly support someone in a situation like this, because you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, yeah, the multiverse saga is done. Let's bury that. Let's say peace out, Boy Scout. Never touch it again. And let's tell some good Marvel stories not in the multiverse. Let's do that. I'm thrilled with that. Even though we do have lingering threads in the multiverse because of the Marvels, hopefully they finish that up.
Hey, Loki tied them all up, man. Loki tied up all those threads.
Yeah, but Monica Rambeau is stuck in a different universe. So now what? I don't know what we're doing. It's like, fix it. Maybe let's ignore it. Fix it. I don't know. Just deal with it. Be done with it.
She found a crack and got her way through.
Be nice. Also, hey, guess what? Merry Christmas. Echo is coming out a day early. You can watch Echo on January 9th. At 6 p.m., you'll be able to watch.
Oh, nice.
Dude, this is going to be
what day of the week is January 9th?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know?
I don't have my phone near me, so I don't know.
Hey, Siri. When is January 9th? It's Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, I'm super stoked. Super stoked. I've
been on the Echo train the whole time. Welcome aboard, everybody.
Have you watched Hawkeye again
lately? Not yet. I'm going to.
I might rewatch it. But, man, the first of the year, I'm having a great time. My football team's in the college football playoff. We got Echo coming out. So nothing can ruin it. Oh, wait, we got to watch What If.
Which starts tomorrow.
Oh, my God, dude.
One episode every day.
Yeah, I'm sick, so I'll probably be able to watch a few of these.
I hear there's at least one Christmas episode. That could be kind of cool or kind of cringe.
I'm just so... I'm already annoyed by what I watched
it. You know, I kind of hope it's as bad as it was the first time.
Me too. I hope it's just as bad as last time. I hope it's exactly as bad as last. I hope it's worse.
I'm going to be happy either way. If it's as bad as it was last time... I'll be happy because it'll be fun to talk about. If it's actually good, I'll be happy because it's actually good.
But I'm looking forward to Echo, man. I'm looking forward to
Echo. Echo is definitely what I'm looking forward to.
And like fans, if Echo does really well, they will greenlight more stuff like Echo. Mm-hmm. So please support it. You know, boost it on Mastodon, wherever you are, on Twitter or X, whatever the hell it's called. And just like hype it up. Because if this does well, Marvel will be like, okay, this is what they want.
Yeah.
This is what they want.
More ground level stuff.
Yes.
More, you know.
R-rated stuff, you know.
It's like a more, not I know, as people say, serious gritty. Tone or mature
gritty.
Tone.
Gritty.
Or gritty. Not even gritty. All of those. Just like more realistic, I guess.
Just more tough, more gritty. And like, listen. The Netflix Daredevil, all three seasons, perfect, right? And then people are talking, and like if this does well, they'll bring back the Punisher, right? So you got that. They'll bring back Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Jessica Jones. They will bring them back if they know fans want this.
And maybe they'll crush all of these stupid rumors I'm hearing about Spider-Man getting interconnected out the wazoo.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's Sony, brother. Who knows?
Ugh.
We'll see. All right. I think we're done. Mike, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yes.
I hope Santa Merry gives Christmas you something.
To not just you, Jay, but to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
And everybody.
We've had a pretty good year. You know, we have some good shows. Of course, we'll have more stuff on the way, but, you know, it's been great. And Mike, you know, you're a great podcast host. Hopefully we'll do some more weird stuff next year. And
you too. We definitely need to... Since we're going to have fewer Marvel things to talk about, we definitely need to reach into...
We got Star Wars.
Stuff that isn't superhero related, maybe.
We're doing Star Wars. What else can we do?
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
I'll do that. Yeah. I've been itching to watch Lord of the Rings again.
Yeah.
Oh, but then we have to watch all the other ones, and then the ones on the Prime? Oh, my God.
We don't have to watch the ones on
Prime. I got to read the book. And then I have to read the book.
But there's a new one coming out. There's a new movie coming out.
You know, I really should read those books. I really should read the books. I should read the books.
You haven't read the books?
No.
Ever?
No.
I read them when I was a kid.
I'm reading Lolita right now, which is causing a lot of problems in my head.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. Uh-huh. It's a really good book, though. It's great.
Except for
the pedophilia. Other than that.
Isn't that the whole thing?
It's well written, though.
Okay.
It's the whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you should read the books, man. I read The Hobbit when I was in, like, elementary school, maybe.
I might pick those up, and I might read them.
They're very good. They're better than the movies.
I just need to, instead, on days when I don't have to work, I need to, instead of turn the Xbox on, I need to grab a book and sit on the couch and read all day. I need to do that too,
but I
just don't. Because the Xbox is right there, right, and the TV is right there. But I need to be like, you know, I saw this thing online about reading groups or places where people just show up and read, but they don't talk to each other. So it's like a cafe or whatever. Designed to just read. So you just walk in and you just read.
Interesting.
That sounds fun to me, actually. It does sound fun to me. Like, it does sound fun. It sounds like if they have cozy chairs, I would just sit up and like post up, and like it's a dedicated space designed so you can just, it sounds like a library, but even quieter. That sounds great, you know?
I would want drink service though.
Yeah, see, capitalism always messes up. It always messes up. Mike, how can fans share this with people? Help people know this stuff and share all the love and joy of the Super Sasha podcast.
Hit the share button, tell a friend, write a review, hit a star or a thumbs up or whatever. Go caroling around your neighborhood. Yeah, go caroling. Use the podcast intro song as your music.
Create a QR code with Christmas lights on top of your roof. So when people
That's a great way to
take
a
picture of it, and boom.
Yeah.
Super Sideshow in the
Christmas ornaments with the QR code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if we made some merch, if people would buy it. Absolutely not. Nobody would ever buy it, would they?
I don't know. It depends on what the merch is. What do you got in mind?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Jay was right. Mike was wrong. That'd be a great t-shirt.
Nobody would buy that.
All right. All right. We'll see you guys next time for What If.
What if?